So welcome everybody. We don't have much time, so I'm gonna go straight to the point. We have a new product announcement. And it's called Juca Bridge 4 for QGIS. Yay!
That was fun. You could all leave now.
So, the goal of a bridge is to have a one-click publish experience from QGIS. So what is a data publication? Let me get to, for us as GeoCat, being kind of the host of the GeoNetwork project, any data publication involves these three steps. So we have data set publication, data file upload, we have a metadata description being published somewhere on the web, and we have a cartographic representation of that data set. The data publication in QGIS was quite hard to find a screenshot for this one, but there's a data file involved. It's either in Postgres or a shapefile or a geopackage or a TIFF file. So there's data involved. There's some transformation involved to a format that is recognized by the server that you're going to send it to. A metadata description has to be provided and uploaded. So some of you may recognize here the metadata editor of QGIS that was majorly improved last year by a splendid team of developers. And there's the cartographic publication, the layer style that gave us some challenges. The other side, of course, has to understand that cartography, and so it would usually not understand the QGIS cartography naturally. So SLD is the proper standard to use here, but the SLD export in QGIS is available, but it's a bit limited here and there. So that were kind of the challenges to. So how do we start with that? So GeoCat Bridge version 3 exists already. It has a history of 10 years, but it's an ARC SRE. Who knows about Bridge for ArcMap? That's actually a good question.
Okay.
So, and who's using it, actually? Oh, that's a very limited group. Okay, so we have a stable user base for that product all over the world. It gives you this one-click experience to publish to GeoServer GeoNetwork from the S3 platform.
And Map Server.
And Map Server, yeah. Based on this set of standards here. So while presenting that at conferences like this one, we always got this question, do you have this user experience for QGIS? And, but we hadn't made that choice to develop that because of a series of challenges that we had. So up till last year, there was hardly any metadata support in QGIS, which made a full workflow, including metadata, a bit of a challenge. SLD support was even more limited as it is today. And there was already some tools available that had some of this capacity. So there was the QGIS GeoServer plugin that was able to publish from QGIS to GeoServer. But, for us, and this is still a bit of a challenge, is the business model behind all of this. It's kind of it was uncertain, and that made us doubt. But we have an opposite to that. So metadata has improved, SLD has improved. The QGIS GeoServer is kind of abandoned. It's unfortunate, but it's what it is. And GeoCat changed kind of his mind shift, and is now willing to experiment with the licensing models. So that's why we have GeoCat Bridge 4. So that was an effort of a couple of months, the recent months before Phosphor-G. So we had a hard time to finish it now. I cannot offer you a download yet, but that will come soon. So, So now we can publish easily to GeoNetwork, PostGIS, GeoServer, and MapServer.
I would also just like to point out we're expanding the capabilities of this product. We're also going to, for our cartography, we're going to be converting both from ArcSD to Mapbox style and also from QGIS to Mapbox style, because we would really like to have a solution for the mobile clients as well.
So installation will be as easy as it is for other plugins. You want to activate the plugin via the plugins menu. This is one of the first features. We developed this actually as a developer tool, so the developer could easily develop this. But then we said, hey, this is actually a nice feature to have instantly a preview of the style that you defined on QGIS and have it instantly on SLD and Mapbox GL.
And GeoStyler.
Oh yeah, GeoStyler, yeah, comes that. Configure the target server. These interfaces you see now, they resemble very much the Bridge product. So people have a very easy, for ArcMap, so many people have an easy migration from ESRI to the QGIS platform. So people who are aware of the ArcMap Bridge product may recognize these interfaces. There's a publish window. Here you see all the layers in the table of contents of your QGIS project. You click on one and you can enter some metadata fields here. The goal here is to provide a minimal metadata editor. So metadata editing is kind of boring, says me as a GeoNetwork developer. So you have to minimize it where possible. So we give you an intuitive minimal metadata editor that provides you a valid record according to standard that you're using.
And I'm just going to interject here. We're starting with the base metadata that's been added to QGIS 3, but that's not quite sufficient for the level of detail we need to when we publish to Inspire. So we've actually had to set up a few of our own additional fields here and set up our own little SQL light database in order to store this information. We hope we can work with the QGIS development team in order to allow us space to record this additional metadata.
There's an additional tab here that allows you to do some work on the attributes, like activating them, renaming. And then there's you hit the publish button, there's a spinner, and this gives you then this experience. Data published, symbology published, metadata published. Usually it's yes, yes, yes. This time it's no because there was an error on one layer. This is still a beta version, so we're working on the things.
Stop by the GeoCat booth for a demo and you can produce your own errors and warnings.
Yes. Yeah, we love that because we love issues and errors. We love errors and then issues that relate to that. After you published it, you have this logo there saying this has been published. And then it gives you the context menu and says, okay, view WMS layer, and that will give you the OpenLayers preview of that layer as it is published on the server.
Now, because Paul is experienced with GeoCat Bridge, he's kind of glossing over how nice this is. This is a really nice experience from ArcGIS Desktop. It's a really nice experience for QGIS. Once you've set this up, you can choose to publish or unpublish a layer very easily. And because you filled in all this information, all your metadata, all your cartography, all your data is going to be taken along for the ride. We don't necessarily package the data. If you're referring to a database that's accessible to GeoServer or accessible to MapServer, we'll be pointing to that table and so forth. But this is a really powerful story. As someone who used the QGIS GeoServer plugin, I'm very impressed when I started looking at this. Please continue. Oh, that was really quick. So, as many of you know, I'm an open source contributor. I've got the shirt to prove it. And I'm here to announce a new open source project. And that project is QGIS Bridge plugin. So this is a new open source project that we're pleased to announce. We're starting this as an open source project rather than a proprietary project, which is what Bridge 3 was. And This is a QGIS project. It's with a GPL license, and this is under a free software GPL license. We are making this available, of course, to our customers, but our customers do get a chance to access that code straight from GitHub, and we are seeking contributions and collaborations. So it is available today. You can go to the GitHub repository. You can check it out. Please include all the submodules. And you can install it into QGIS 3.4 or later and try it out. Internally, the project is broken down into a couple components. So we've got the QGIS Bridge plugin, which I've just talked about, and it's going to make use of two Python libraries, Bridge Common and Bridge Style. And this is all Python 3 projects. So the first library, Bridge Commons, this is also a new open source project. So this is a library making publishing geospatial data and metadata on the internet as easy as using Python. Show of hands, is Python easy? Excellent, so I really hope you check out this library and give us feedback. This library kind of takes the place of gsconfig, which was an open source library that's been abandoned that was used to publish things to GeoServer. This library can take the place of that. In addition to publishing to GeoServer, it can also publish to MapServer. So it's offering greater capabilities. And we hope it can be extended to other platforms in the future. It's available on GitHub. This time it's an MIT license. So MIT is an open source license that's very popular in the Python community, especially the GeoPython community. And those are the folks we're looking to collaborate with. Here's an example. This is how you know you're at a FOSFG conference. There's code examples in the presentations. I'm not going to read the code example to you. I'm not that cool. The other library that we'd like to talk about here is Bridge Style. And we put this out because we think that this library is going to see a lot of uptake and be really wonderful for a lot of people. So this is a Python library that's specifically about converting between the different map styles. So once again, it's an open source MIT license. Internally, it's going to use GeoStyler JSON as little data structures to pass the styles around. And it has capability to export to SLD and SE, and the specific flavor of GeoServer SLD that allows you greater control of fonts and special effects like alpha blending and so on. We are also setting it up to export to Mapbox style specification. In case you'd like to pick this up on your mobile devices. And almost more importantly, who here is not a Python developer? You can use this on the command line. So if you want to use it in a DevOps situation or Jenkins or in little bash scripts, you'll be able to make use of a style-to-style command line and use that to convert between formats. So we're really hoping that this levels the playing field for both a lot of the open source projects and helps those of us who are enjoying proprietary tools a chance to make use of a wider use of technology. So bash scripting, DevOps operation, automation, we would really like to see this tool picked up and used. It's also available on GitHub, Python 3 MIT license, and GeoCat really welcomes collaboration. And that's not an idle threat. So we are doing some of this in collaboration with a really nice project called GeoStyler from Teretris, which I'm probably not saying right.
Thanks.
And we managed to meet up with them at the Balsena Code Sprint, and they gave us a really nice example of their GeoStyler demo. So this is a front end where you can put together your style online and convert it out to a number of different formats, but it's a JavaScript library. But they have a specification of their JSON data structure, and rather than invent our own, we're collaborating with them, and we hope that this also picks up some speed and momentum within the community. So GeoStyler was not intended to be a new standard, so I'm not gonna use that XKCD comic strip, but it is trying to be a little bit of a Rosetta Stone to convert between standards. Thank you. How are we doing for time?
We still have like 5 minutes if you want to.
20 minutes? We're much too.
Oh,
okay. Well, that's excellent. Are there any questions? In the back. We're going to come around to it with a microphone. No, we'll do the microphone. Because it needs to be picked up for the video recording as well. That's why we're asking you to use the microphone.
Do you have a processing toolbox in QGIS for that?
That might be something that could be produced with those Python libraries. Right now, we're really focused on that one-click publishing experience. But that's a good idea. I can see how that would be really advantageous. Yeah.
Good. Anybody else?
We accept awkward questions also. Yeah, by all means. The microphone's
coming. You said you could publish from ArcMap? From ESRI? This product, but you have a product that publishes from ArcMap.
Yeah.
But okay, so if you've got like group layers in ArcMap, does it support the grouping?
Yes. So GeoServer, for example, has the concept of a layer group for WMS.
But it supports it when you...
And that comes straight over, yeah.
Right.
I'm going to interrupt. We've been talking a little bit about GeoCat Bridge 4. This product is going to be available both for the ESRI products and the QGIS projects, and it's going to be making use of a lot of the same open source components. So please continue with your question.
And the symbology, how complex is the symbology?
How complex is...
I mean, if we have a complex symbology, do you support it?
Yeah. So that's a really good question. We do handle a lot of the things like picking up all the little icons and glyphs and packaging them up and sending them to GeoServer so they can use the right icons. Especially with the ESRI tools, a lot of the true type fonts are under a distribution restriction. And so you've got the opportunity to map from here's the little font I'm using over here to here's the little font symbol I'm using on the server side. That can be especially awkward for governments that have like standardized on symbology, donated it to ESRI, and then are surprised that they don't have the right to use the symbols afterwards. So hopefully you kept your SVG files so you can reuse them
A zebra style, zebra, like stripes. Stripe symbology, polygon.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah? Support it?
No.
You don't?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And also when you publish, you have the sequence of the layers. I mean, do you keep the sequence?
It actually goes a little bit beyond that, in that if you've got a specific map that's configured with the layers in an order, that comes out as called a web map context. That standard's not used by very many products, but we do support it.
Right, and last thing, labeling. When you choose a field for labeling, does it keep that?
Yes, and actually this is a good point for the QGIS story, because QGIS, a lot of people use dynamic functions and so on when they're configuring their styles and their labels, and that hasn't been supported by the native QGIS SLD export, and it's supported right now in our initial, technology preview of GeoCat Bridge. So already we're seeing much better fidelity between the originals in QGIS and what we're getting out of GeoServer. So we're really pleased with the initial results. Thank you.
Okay, we still have time for more questions. So.
Excellent.
One more question about style conversion. You mentioned that you convert from SLD to Mobox styles and so on.
Yeah.
Will be supported also conversion to MOP server styles and classification.
I'm personally not across how the current GeoCat Bridge 3 does it. My understanding is it packages... Nope, you're going to take it? So we do have some support for taking the symbology over to map server. I'm not myself knowledgeable about how that is done. Can you answer that?
So maybe I didn't fully understand the question, but the answer to this question is that we create a map file on the ArcMap side, and it's true that currently there's no Mapbox style on the styler library.
I'm sorry.
Was that an answer to your question?
Well, the more complex question about
Wait, can you wait a second?
Or layer definitions for map server purposes with all the styling and style support.
Yeah. It's certainly on my roadmap to have that, but it's currently not. And
SLD in this case with map server. So with map server, we can use SLD.
Yeah. So that's how it's handled currently. Doing something more specific for map server could certainly be added to the library, and we do hope that more plugins and extensions are added to that library over time.
Okay, any more? Yes.
Thank you. So this bridge style, that looks quite interesting. I'm wondering, how do I know, like, how successful was the conversion of the styles? Because lots of these, like, there is no good parity, so do I know if there are some errors or warnings?
That's a good question. In our UI right now, we do offer a list of warnings. I'm pretty sure that when we do the conversion, we could make a list of any components of the symbology that we weren't able to make use of. But there's an awful lot of functionality in GeoServer that hasn't been taken advantage of in the current SLD export, so we're really hopeful we can get very good parity.
Okay, cool. Any more?
If we went to the GitHub repo, I could show you like a mapping of like these functions to these functions in GeoServer. We're doing our best to do a good job.
Okay. If there are no any more further questions, then
so I actually came with my own questions because I like to be prepared. So one question that we expected was, why didn't you directly improve the QGIS SLD functionality? And the answer was really that we were after that Python command line experience, and we were looking to collaborate with the Python community. We also do intend to use these libraries in our ArcMap and ArcGIS Pro tools. The QGIS community also doesn't have a strong interest in SLD, so we're expecting to have a better chance collaborating with the Python community. The other question is, why the MIT license? And the answer is really that we're making friends with the GeoPython community. So the GeoPython community at this conference is PyCSW, GeoAPI, and GeoHealthCheck. So we're looking forward to that. And there was also a prepared question about GeoPackage metadata. That's not currently supported in QGIS. So if you have your metadata in your GeoPackage, QGIS isn't noticing. So that's something we'd like to work with the QGIS community on.
Okay, Jody, thank you. These were really good questions.
Thank you.
Oh, and the talk was good as well. Thank you very much.